It's time now for The Best of Ourselves with Marcia Hayek. Good morning.
Good morning, CJ.
How are you?
Well, I'm going to talk about worrying today, if
I'm
that's any indication. Good. I'm glad you bring some experience to this conversation.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's what I do.
Oh, okay. Well, good. It's also in my DNA, so we can talk about this. It's interesting when you really notice how much energy can go to worry and anxiety.
Yep.
And part of you, me, and I think I imagine you too, knows like what a waste of energy in
a
way.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
There's a great quote from Cora ten Boom, who was an author and a Christian Dutch woman who helped Jews escape from the Holocaust. So she had a perspective on life.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It empties today of its strength.
Ooh.
Isn't that powerful?
That's great.
And in studying with Wendy Palmer, who does conscious embodiment and leadership embodiment, the whole thing, she said, you know, a lot of times I'll ask people what they don't want to have happen or what they're worried about, and they'll say it really strongly. And then I'll say, well, what do you want to have happen? And their voice goes down, really, well, I kind of would like to, you know.
Yeah.
And so that whole thing about where, you know, where's our focus?
Yeah.
But the fact is, if you, like I, are skilled at worrying,
mm-hmm.
And honestly, this is a glimpse into my Friday nights and Saturday mornings, is I'll think, okay, what have I learned this week? And last night I'm thinking, I don't want to do a radio show because I don't feel like I know anything anymore because I'm so consumed with anxiety and worry. It's like, okay, well then maybe we should talk about that.
Mm.
So I've been thinking a lot about that and you know, it's not that we don't know what to do. It's just very hard to get control of it.
Yeah.
And so, and yet, of course, the cost to our health, our sleep, our sense of well-being is pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing that's just really powerful, and I looked up some research on this as well as my own experiences, don't fight it.
Mm.
Allow it.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, when you fight something, it can get like bigger. It gives it energy, as
yeah.
it were. But a lot of times I'll think, well, what's wrong with me? I know better than to worry. And so then I'll fight my worrying as opposed to just allowing. Is that, what do you do when you notice it?
It's sort of insidious. Something will come up. There'll be this little spark in the back of my head. Oh my gosh, what if, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then I find that tape plays. And
yep.
plays, and it gets bigger and bigger. And then when I really bring my focus to it, unless I'm going to like do something positive with it,
yeah.
it just inflates and inflates and inflates. And pretty soon, you know, you're walking around, you got this frown on your face, and everything you're doing is sort of at a distance because your real focus is on this worry.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So the thing that was most helpful for me recently is reading Sylvia Boorstein's book. She's the... Funny You Don't Look Jewish, or You Don't Look Like a Buddhist. She's a Jewish grandmother who is Buddhist and
mm-hmm.
has several books that are fabulous. I just can't say enough about her. But she's got a few tips about that. And that really, those things I've sort of glommed onto, and that's what I do to sort of break that chain of just ever inflating worry. You
Great.
Know, and try to bring it back into.
So what tips and what, let's say her name again and the names of like one of your favorites of her books.
Yeah, Sylvia Boorstein. It's Boorstein, I'm guessing, or maybe two E's. I'm not sure.
Google will know.
Yes, Google will know. You can even Google Jewish Buddhist and she'll come up in Wikipedia.
I'm sure there aren't many, yes.
But in the Funny You Don't Look Buddhist book, I think is where I found, that was I think the first one I read, and I found lots of little gems for me. But what she does quite nicely is she gives you these hints, but she also tells you how to internalize them. So for her, meditation is huge,
mm-hmm.
right? So she has these little phrases that she focuses on for herself, and she shares those. And so I'm taking her wonderful insights and making them my own. But she, when you first come across them in the book, she has you sit very quietly, and she has you sort of say them out loud or to yourself or whatever, but to also watch your breathing. And so you are getting in that calm space, breath wise and body wise, while you're saying it. So what I found amazing was, after you, if you really do that exercise later on, you go to use it, and your body, as soon as you start saying it in your head,
body knows.
Your body responds. It like it takes it down a notch, another notch, another notch. And so you get through this little litany, and by that time your breathing is easier, your shoulders are down, your frown is less, you know. I mean, and so it has a physical effect, which reinforces, you know, the stuff that you're saying. And so some of the things, and I don't have this exactly right, so please forgive me, Sylvia, for paraphrasing it, but it's just little things that, okay, it relaxes your body, it gives you focus, and it brings you more in line with what you want to accomplish rather than what you're afraid is going to accomplish, right?
Yes.
So the first one is like, may I feel calm and safe? And so she's talking about what she wants to feel.
Right.
You know, so it brings it into that body-centered thing. And the next one is, may I feel protected and pleased? And you think, wow, that's kind of a weird combination. But if you really focus on those words, feeling protected and feeling pleased means, you know, you've got something to be pleased about. Right? So it's kind of cool. And then it's like, may my physical body support me with strength.
Nice.
I mean, that brings all sorts of other things that you can meditate on for a while. And then the final one is, may my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
Lovely.
And all of those things are things you want, right?
Yeah,
and so any of these little problems you're worried sick about kind of get shuffled over here because all these wonderful things are going to be happening.
It's a lovely, it's an active form of meditating in a way. By repeating this, it reminds me of the loving kindness. It's very similar. Safe, healthy, happy, live with ease. It's very similar. And that kind of meditation helps because it shifts your focus.
Yeah.
And you're reducing the cortisol in your body by, you said, the calm, you know, breathing.
Yep.
Roxanne Hal Murphy, who wrote Deep Living, I've been studying with her lately, and she's a lot about noticing what's happening in your body when you're worrying. Where do you feel it?
Uh-huh.
What is it? You know, describe the feeling. And so I was in one of my bouts of worry, and I was, and the advice that I got was, notice where you're feeling it, just know, sort of name it. But the advice I got, and notice where you don't feel the worry, and breathe into that part of your body. And so I was very anxious about some work that wasn't happening. And I know, okay, take this advice. So it's interesting, both of these are body-centered. And so I sat and I just noticed my breath and noticed where the tension was. And it was everywhere but my gut, my belly center, my belly brain, which is a pretty well-documented source of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, that's interesting. So I breathed into my belly and just got that calm that you described when you do the Sylvia's practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, that's interesting. So it's part of me that knows it's all going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
So that, whatever physical, like meditation, Tong Lin, which is Pema Chodron, talks about that form of meditation, where you think about what you have anxiety about, and then you think of all the other people in the world who have that same kind of anxiety. So people who are worried about whether they'll have enough food and shelter and whatever. So breathe in their suffering and breathe out loving compassion to them. People who don't think they're enough, aren't enough of a human being worthy of love, breathe in that pain and breathe out loving kindness. What it does in terms of, it gives me perspective on my own suffering, and it also shifts it so that I'm connected to a larger humanity. You know, I think Brené Brown says we're wired for suffering. It's not that it's something to fix. Mm. It's just something to learn how to be resilient with.
Mm-hmm.
And so a couple other things that I saw online, mindfulness for sure, accepting for sure, coming up with a practice that helps you get perspective, which is your Sylvia Borstein example is fabulous. One that I thought was kind of interesting is if it's really insidious, if it's just, you know, it's not like you said, sometimes it can like move your head, okay, what am I going to do about this?
Mm-hmm.
But other times it's just this cycle of negative and brings you down, as you described. It's a couple of different researchers said, consider setting a time every day as a designated worry time, 30 minutes. And they found that with people who did that, who set that 30 minutes aside and identified what they're worried about and came up with a place and time to do that worrying and sit down and think about that subject and maybe think about what's it about and, you know, what would that be if it was not happening, that those folks who, and then if they found themselves worrying any other time, they said, nope, They changed channels because they knew that there was a designated place for that. Mm-hmm. That blows my mind. But apparently, according to Penn State researchers, that actually helped folks calm down and control their worrying because they parked it, as it were.
Yeah.
There are lots of different techniques. You go online. But you know, one of the things I just caution you about online, there's a lot of techniques that are about numbing. Mm. And you look at Brené Brown's work. That doesn't make resilience. That just blocks the feeling.
Right.
And Roxanne Hal Murphy says, a lot of our suffering comes from undigested pain. Mm. So if we just allow ourselves to feel it, accept it, learn from it, gently support ourselves moving through it, we'll be a lot better off versus if we eat chocolate and have a glass of wine, which, you know, I'm not against it. Sometimes that works, yeah. But sometimes it's just the best you can do.
Maybe you could save that for after your 30-minute worry session.
Good idea. Let me end with a quote from the Dalai Lama, another wise one. If a problem is fixable, if a situation is such that you can do something about it, then there it is. No need to worry. If it's not fixable, then there's no help in worrying. There's no benefit in worrying whatsoever. Dalai Lama.
I love it. Thanks,
thank you.
Marcia.